got a great show for you. You know, we're giving a tribute to our favorite comedy show. Also, we like to listen to sometime the Tripod. Since we want to say thank you for y'all, and we want to share your content with everybody. So, please, listen to the show, and we got something going on. Okay, and we have a special guest in the house. You ain't gonna believe how we did it. We had to get a time machine and everything. We have our special guest coming in and wanted to say hello to everybody. So here he is. He's coming on hopefully in about 2 minutes or so. So this is and meanwhile, let's let maybe talk to Uncle Grandpa.
Hey there, kids. How you all doing? It's Uncle Grandpa here. I wanted to say that we got a special guest. I don't know how we got him, but we got him in here. And you all remember that old show? It was called Dinosaur. And I ain't talking about my dick. And I ain't talking about my wee-wee. I ain't talking about me not able to use a bathroom in 20 years, right? Got a goddamn colossal bag on my shoulder. I don't know what else, but he's coming in. And I hope he comes in here real soon. But anyways, you know, Hey, nephew, what you doing?
Nothing, Uncle Grandpa. I'm not doing anything. All I'm doing is just trying to sit here, trying to call him. But every time I try to make a phone call to him, I keep getting this darn message. So I don't know what else to tell you.
Did you dial the number right? Did you get on the phone with him?
I tried to get him on the phone, and all I got was a damn agent and manager.
What are you talking about?
And he said he's coming. He said about he in traffic. How is he in traffic? He's a cartoon
kid. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. But anyway, Uncle Grandpa, I wanted to tell you, I love you. You're a pain in the freaking ass.
And you're a pain in the ass, too.
I don't like you the way you talk to me sometimes, but I love you.
I hate your ass. You're a pain in the butt. Every damn time I kid you, whenever you go trying to buzz me around. Just because you got a darn show on the radio does not mean you got an entitlement to try to boss an old man around. I'm 65 years old. I ain't got much going on. Except, you know, when I get me a nice woman or a nice, you know, colostomy bag full and gotta go to see that nurse. You know, she, Miss Ratchet, she's
yeah,
beautiful
uh-huh.
and everything. And I like her.
Well, you shouldn't be messing with the nurses. They didn't help you. Not to be acting like a fool.
I like them. They're pretty and they're young and I think they get their hips still good. So I don't get what you try to say. So be quiet. I'm the oldest here. I don't know what I'm talking about. You kids don't know how to respect your elders. You gotta learn how to respect.
Shut up, you old man. You old bitty, you pain ass. Anyways, I think he's coming in now. So let's get ready. I think he's gonna call. Hold on a minute. Let me check the phone. Ow? Hello? Hello?
Hi! It's me! I'm the baby! Got to love me! Hi, everybody! Hi! What's going on?
I have a question for you!
Thanks for having me on
the show! Why are you pink?
Grandpa, shut up! You're just talking to my... I'm trying to talk to my guest!
Oh, no, shut up, you damn pig! I just want to ask a question! How is it?
Grandpa! Okay, I
just
said, hi, everybody!
Okay. But anyways, I want to say thank you for coming on the show, and we appreciate you. We're going to come back and later on in the show. We're going to do an interview with you. And
yeah,
we want to get some questions. What you been up to? What you been going on? Why did you cancel the show?
I just want to know why you're pink. Why are you pink? Why is your skin pink?
If you're not laughing at that, you are dead inside. You understand me? That is the funniest thing you're going to hear from me tonight. Truthfully, comedy is very hard. People don't really realize that. Probably because the best joke in the entire world has already been written, and not by me. It's the owl joke. Have you ever heard of it? It's amazing. My cousin told it to me a couple years ago. He walked right up to me and goes, "Hey, Matt, someone said you sound like an owl." And then I said, "Who?" If you're not laughing at that, you are dead inside. You understand me? That is the funniest thing you're gonna hear from me tonight. And I'm an idiot. I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Like, I'm pretty sure I flapped a little bit. I was like, ooh. I was looking around to see who did it. Because owls turn, that doesn't matter. Now, here's the weird part. As soon as it happened, all this male pride just swelled up inside of me. And I'm like, man, if I fell for it, my wife, she's really going to fall for it. So I assembled all the guys that did it to me. And I'm like, let's go get her. We're legally an angry mob at this point. We have pitchforks and torches. We're singing through the mist, through the woods, through the darkness and the shadows. It's a nightmare, but it's one exciting ride. Say a prayer and we're there at the drawbridge of a castle and there's something truly terrible inside. It's a beast. He's got fangs. I sang the whole song. I went up to her. I did the joke. She asked me every question except for who. I have no clue how she did it. I was so excited. I was like, sweetheart. Someone said, you sound like an owl. She's like, what?
What do I do?
No, it's true. It's true. Someone said, you sound like an owl. She's like, when? Like a minute ago. It doesn't matter. Listen. Someone said that you sound like an owl. She's like, what's their name? I'm like, that's a good question. Could you rephrase it? The person that said that to you, what is that person's name? I lost it. I was like, you're supposed to say who? Who, 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 who? She's like, now who sounds like an owl? I'm like, come on! I love my wife. She's amazing. We've just entered this new phase of our adulthood. We are parents, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Thank you. I love being a dad. It's great because immediately your house becomes more disgusting and also more adorable. Isn't that true? Like, case in point, my son will fart all the time because he is a human person. But when he farts, my wife loves it. I don't know what happens to women when they have children, but something shut off in her brain. She just inhales. Deeply and affectionately, she's like, oh. Did somebody make us stinky? Did somebody make us stinkity wiggity wiggity? Here's the thing, it's not always him. This is happening like once a week in my house. She's like, oh, who made a farty? And I'm like, actually, that was me. She's like, what? Gross. I'm like, what are you talking about? A minute ago, you thought it was potpourri. Now you're revolted? Hypocrite! Oh, yeah, I'll call my wife a hypocrite if I have to. Yeah, unless I'm feeling affectionate, then I'll call her a hippogriff. Which is a half horse, half bird from Harry Potter. Yeah. They sound similar, but they're very different. A hypocrite is very serious. A hippogriff helps Sirius escape from the Ministry of Magic. Yeah. Hear that? That's the sound of the dorks. And my people, so welcome here. Welcome here. We are an adoptive family. My son was born in South Africa. Let me get something clear. South Africa is the name of the country. Africa is the name of the continent. All right, white people, can we get that for one day, please? Stop embarrassing me. Oh, I met someone else from South Africa. Cool, whereabouts in South Africa? Nigeria. That's Nigeria. What's the difference? It's a huge difference. That's like saying I met someone from Canada. Whereabouts in Canada? Mexico. It's a big deal. Look at a map. One of the best parts about becoming a dad is that now I get to be lame. Like, I've always been lame, but now I can just lean into it, right? Like, I'm not cool. I don't have any tattoos. Everyone's all tatted up now. The tattoos are a bit much, though, aren't they? You know, everyone's like, I got a panther on this shoulder. I got an avocado on this shoulder. Got my favorite word written on my back. My whole generation just treating our bodies like we treated our binders in grade 7. Just be lame. Just be lame. Embrace it, right? Like, I'll be vulnerable with you right now. I really want to get into bird watching. And if that is not the lamest thing you have ever heard, I do not know what is. Because I did not say that I am into bird watching. I said I really want to get into bird watching. I see two old people with binoculars. I'm like, that is my hashtag life goal right there. The problem is that nobody's interested in bird watching. Every time I try talking about it, everyone's eyes glaze over and they get really bored. For example. Like, the only people who are mildly interested are my hunter friends, but there's a disconnect there. You know, they're a little too eager, you know? They're like, you like birds? Check it out, come here, look. There you go, you can put it in your pocket. There you go, huh? Oh, stop crying, stop crying! I don't like guns. I don't like guns. I'm not a hunter. I'm not a weapon person. I don't get it. All right? Yeah, two people. I don't know. I like bird calls, so maybe we should combine the two. Then maybe I'd be on board. Could you imagine the peacefulness and serenity of a bird call mixed with the high efficiency of a semi-automatic assault rifle? Yeah, just sitting there in your blind, all ready to go. I have a very hairy back. I don't have a problem with it, but my wife does because she's the one who can, quote, see it. And so now before, like, we go places where I need to remove my shirt, like public swimming pools or movie theaters, she... She needs to shave my back. And it's always awful because already I'm an insecure adult male. But now I'm an insecure adult male in my underwear, in the shower, hands up against the wall. Just standing there. She's behind me. Last time she was doing this, I heard her mutter. She goes, boom. If only people knew. And I was like, what are you trying to say? If people knew about this, they would laugh. And you did. And she said, no. If only people knew this is what marriage really was. That's the mole. But this whole ritual is even weirder now because I'm a dad. So now, last time this happened, my toddler was just watching it all unfold. And that freaks me out. I know he's 2. He's not going to remember any of that, right? But that's in there. That's deep in his subconscious somewhere. Like, I'm worried he's going to be in therapy 20 years from now trying to figure out why he hates weed whackers or something like that. I'd like to talk about my baptism now. That's my favorite line in my act, just so you know. Because of how uncomfortable it makes everybody. It's the one thing that unites all of us. Because if you believe in God, you're like, oh no, what's he gonna say? And if you don't believe in God, you're like, oh no, what's he gonna say? Let me make it clear right now, just so we're all on the same page. I am pro-baptism, but I'm not gonna make it weird, but I will take an offering after the bit, just so you know. Lock the doors, play a slow song, and pass the plate. I was baptized in a Mennonite church. I was sprinkled. And before you can get baptized, you need to give a testimony. Unless it's like an accidental baptism. If you're walking by a lake and there's a pastor there and he trips you, then, you know, no speech required. But typically, you got to give the testimony. Now, I wrote mine out and my pastors read it beforehand and they gave me some notes because I had a line in my testimony that said, I love the Lord. I just needed a kick in the butt. And my pastor said, love your testimony, Matt. Really top-notch stuff. But take out the butt. And then he clarified. He goes, the double T butt. Because he knows with me, he has to be specific. Because if he didn't clarify, I would just be up there on Sunday morning. I did not want to go to camp. I did. You got to get my testimony right, because I was the first one up. I was the first one out of the gate, you know, because I had the boring testimony. I was like 13 at the time, so my testimony was kind of lame. It was like, I started going to church when I was 5 years old, and the hardest time of my life was when I really wanted to play soccer, but nobody picked me for soccer, and God said he loved me even if I didn't play soccer. You're like, all right, that's adorable. Move it along, you know? Then there's the guy who's like, I've been doing drugs for 40 years. You're like, yeah. You put that guy at the end, he's your closer. And it's true. So before you can get baptized, you have to walk down the aisle, and they always play music, and it was a big year for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? So I walked down the aisle to, as I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good away. Who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me. I'm speeding it up for the sake of the joke, but like, I swear, I'm pretty sure my pastor slowed down the beats per minute. Heaven forbid there's a rhythm. They'd be like, as I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way. You don't want that. If you dance down the aisle at a Mennonite baptism, they don't let you get baptized. That's how that works. There's a dude in the pew with a hook. He's like, you're not ready. And he pulls you in. And you can research that. That's true. But now I go to a very charismatic church and all my friends are getting dunked. Listen, I don't care what you believe. You got to admit this. Dunking is cooler than sprinkling. Yeah.
Never got an applause break on that before.
So now, I'm watching all these baptisms happen, and I'm getting something I didn't even know was a thing. I'm getting baptism envy, because it's so cool. Like, it's so cool. They're playing videos of it next week, and the videos are always in slow motion, right? They're like, let's see what happened last week when Keenan got baptized. They're playing some cool music out of Redding, California. I'm no longer a slave to fear. His hair flies back. They CG a dove landing on his shoulder. It's awesome. Yeah. No one wants to watch a slow-mo sprinkling.
To keep your eyes open.
I'm not a superstitious person. I have friends who are very superstitious, and it makes no sense to me. Like, I have a buddy who's always like, oh, haven't been sick all year. Knock on wood. What? What are you doing? What is this? Look at me right now. Look, this is nothing. This does nothing. This means nothing. Let's break apart your belief, shall we? You believe there are forces in this universe that dictate when, where, and how you get sick. That's fine. But you think they can be manipulated by knocking on wood? What kind of flippant gods are these? Like, even the pagan gods of yesteryear demanded a sacrifice. You had to pull the toenail from an old guy or something like that. I don't remember. But knocking on wood. Some people don't even knock on wood. They just say knock on wood. Haven't been sick all year. Knock on wood. What, are you trying to trick the gods now? What are you doing? I think they're up there going, did you get Peter sick? No, no, no. He knocked on wood. Did you see him physically knock on the wood? If that's true, you know it can't be that easy. There's got to be some sort of loophole. You're going to get sick, die, get to heaven, be like, what happened, God? I knocked on wood. He's just going to look at you. No, no, no. You knocked on oak. Remember, knock on oak, that's a joke. Knock on pine, you're feeling fine. That's the rhyme. You're a moron. I don't have to tell you. We try whatever we can. No one wants to get sick. That's the whole thing. We're all trying to be healthy. I'm trying to be healthy. I lost some weight recently. I lost 45 pounds, actually. Like, oh, thank you. Some of you who didn't clap? Wow. A little rude. Maybe this will impress you more. I didn't even just lose 45 pounds. Technically, I lost 90 because I sort of lost the weight and then gained it back and then had to do it again. So... Yeah, I know, I know. And people say to me, they say, Matt, that's amazing. How did you lose that much weight? I'll tell you, I ate less food. You've heard of it, yeah. And if I would have known of another way, I would have done that because I love food. Like, I really love food. So this is actually what I would do. I would put food on my plate. I would look at it and be like, ha ha, food. And then I would just remove food from my plate until I was no longer happy. I promise, this is what you need to do when you can't trust your own instincts. I would just take food off until I felt depressed. I would look at it and go, I guess that's a normal human portion of food. I would eat that, cry, and go to bed. It was a fun couple of years. I would also weigh myself every single morning. Yeah, if you ever find that your moods are too stable, I highly recommend weighing yourself every single morning. It's just a crapshoot with your emotions when you first wake up. Am I gonna be happy today? No, sorry, Bob! But there's huge milestones when you lose that much weight. Like, I remember the day that I dropped below 30 BMI. Now, for those who don't need to know this, and that's everybody, 30 BMI is the clinical rate for obesity, and I had dropped below it. Yeah. However, I did own a digital scale, so I knew that I only dropped 0.1 pounds below it. That was a weird day. I have a very clear recollection of standing in the kitchen, and I was holding a cookie. And I was just thinking to myself, if I eat this cookie, I'm gonna be obese. And I ate the cookie, so. I make bad decisions all the time. Like, my wife and I went to London. That wasn't the bad decision. That wasn't supposed to be the joke. Hey, if you hate London, that's a phenomenal joke right there. But if you like London, that was just the setup. So my wife and I went to London. And here's the thing. When you go to London, you expect to be able to understand them because we hear people with British accents on movies like Hugh Grant. Hello, how are you? I'm fine. Nice to meet you. You're like, oh, that sounds lovely. But they dumb it down for us North Americans. When they're in England, they all have a different dialect together. It's true. We went to go see Matilda, the musical. We got there. We're all excited. Spotlight goes on this adorable little 12-year-old. He steps forward and starts singing.
mommy say, I'm a Muriel. More, mommy say, I'm a special little guy. Sight like I'm not sorry, I know. Toy sight I'm not, so I never let me go. I'm like, we're not gonna understand a word of this.
I'm like, maybe when he stops singing, it'll be easier when the music stops. The music stopped, he stepped forward and did a monologue. He's like, right, so we floor me got my sort, right? You take a knot and shove a knot and never know because you're flooring up a sort, right, you know? And you go for knot because never right is our Emma. I'm like, we paid so much money for these tickets. Show was like that. At the end, I stood up and clapped with everyone else, but I didn't know if that was true. You know? The guy beside me was like, Rolf, not me so. I was like, yeah, absolutely.
That is what I was thinking.
I think I was just flustered because I had just underwent the most embarrassing experience of my life. My wife and I just got back from like the fanciest British restaurant ever. It was like a 4-star Michelin tire restaurant. I don't know how they rate it. But there was a guy at the door taking our coats. Yeah. I had no idea he didn't work there. No clue. And you trust him because he's British, right? He's like, I'll take your coat, sir. I'm like, yes, you will take my coat. And the lady's jewels as well. Give him your jewels, honey. The waiter leads us into the restaurant and he brings us towards our chairs, and the chairs are clear, transparent plastic. And that's a problem for me because I have what my wife affectionately refers to as perpetual plumber's crack. And anyone else have perpetual plumber's crack? PPC, as we call it? Any PPC sufferers in the crowd? All right, don't point at your husbands. That's not nice. For those who don't understand, let me explain. Basically, my butt is small enough that my pants will always fall down, and yet somehow my crack is big enough to make everyone uncomfortable. Do you know what I'm talking about? The crack to butt ratio is not right at all. You'd think with so much crack, you'd get a little bit like a woo, but nothing. It's just flat. It's just a long, horrible ditch that leads nowhere. What do? You put the coat over your chair. That's like a crack force field, right? You can feel the wind rushing over, but no one can see nothing. But buddy took my coat at the door, and it's not just here, it's every single restaurant. Why do they always design chairs this way with a little gap right at the bottom? If you've got PPC, that is a frame. And I know. So they bring us towards our chairs, and right away I can see that I'm like, this is not gonna end well at all. They set my wife down first. She's got a view of the entire restaurant. I got a view just of her. Normally, that's perfect. Not today. As soon as I sit down, I can feel it. Like, I know she can't see nothing, but I also know that I am now mooning this entire half of the restaurant. And it's not like a normal moon either. It's like a squished up against clear plastic. Looks like I'm taunting them on purpose or something. Now, if this were like Minnesota, someone would say something. Hey, buddy, your butt's showing. Yeah, pull up your pants. I put a coat around you. Yeah, you PPC? Yeah, me too, buddy. Yeah, no worries. But in London, everyone's so hoity-toity proper. They're like, oh my. Don't look, Winifred. Don't look. I haven't been this upset since Maggie Thatcher was in Parliament. Little Maggie Thatcher joke to really get the crowds going. I know my demographic. No problem. And it's a quiet restaurant. Keep that in mind. There's music, but it's not like clothing store music. Right? Oots, oots, oots. Let's buy a shirt! It's not like that. The music makes it feel quieter in the restaurant. The music was like, Mia Rossi. Wasn't even through the speakers. It was just a dude in the corner. Humming while he was eating his soup. Just, mi arroz in the fire. And this is just phase one. They bring out our food now, and it's fancy food. It's like duck foo-foo or something like that. And it was on a baguette. That's all I remember. And I took a bite, and maybe I breathed when I should have been chewing. Maybe I chewed when I should have been breathing. I don't know, but I verschlucked. Now, verschluck is a Mennonite word, which means to choke at an inopportune time. You're thinking, like a cough? No, no, a cough is like... Excuse me. That's adorable, all right? A fushluck is like a good hearty Mennonite thing. You do what it sounds like. That's how you got the name. It's like, a fushluck! It's a fushluck, you understand? Stop looking at me like you know what I'm talking about. Everyone's got one fushlucker in the family, all right? Yes, you do. Normally, it's mom. Mom's the fushlucker, isn't she? She could fushluck on air. It doesn't even matter. Mom will fushluck on anything. She always tries to convince you she's fine. She's turning purple in the kitchen. I'm fine. Just eat. Just eat. It's fine. Just eat. Just eat. Like, I don't want the pierogies, Mom. You fushlucked all over them. What are you doing? So... I went into phase one of the fushluck. Now, phase one is just this. That's it. Now, my wife knows what phase one of a fushluck looks like, but she also knows what phase three of a fushluck looks like, and she did not want that to happen in this quiet Miarossi British restaurant. So as soon as I went, she just looked at me like, don't you dare. You know, if you've been married a while, you have that like language you can speak without even saying a word. We had that in that moment. It was beautiful. As soon as I went, we had an understanding that I was just going to have to die. I was not to cough it up. I was to allow the darkness to overcome me. Take one for the team. But your body won't let you go down like that. So involuntarily, I went into phase two of the fushluck, which is I suppressed that back to phase one. Now, when you suppress a fushluck at phase one, what happens is it does prolong the fushluck experience, but it also intensifies phase three, you understand? So I knew I needed to get out of there as quickly as possible before I just projectile fushlucked all over everybody. So now I'm trying to be like discreet about it, also trying to suppress the fushluck and find the bathroom. So I'm like walking like...
Excuse me, do you know where the bathroom is? Perchance, could you direct me towards the bathroom?
Poor guy doesn't know whether to find a waiter or an exorcist. They show me the bath. They don't call it a bathroom in London. They call it a water closet. Now this poor Mennonite kid from Canada just staring at this door like, I don't want to die in the utility room. You got to visualize this. I'm in the lobby now, the quietest and busiest part of this restaurant. My body does not care. My body's like, all right, come on, space three. Phase three for schluck right there in that lobby. Just ha 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 ha.
I turn around, I'm sweating, I'm crying, my mascara's running. I stammer back to my chair, I sit down, my wife's like, you okay? She's like, because everyone heard.
The waiter came up. I was expecting him to be discreet about it. Maybe be like, excuse me, sir. Can I get you some water, sir? Some water for your fushlucking, sir? Some fushlucking water, perhaps. But no, I guess he had had enough. He walked up and he announced himself. He's like, excuse me, sir. But would you please... pull up your pants. And he just walked right out of there. Not fair. Now, what bugs me about this whole situation was that if I wouldn't have cared what other people thought about me, I would have had a lovely dinner. I would have verschlucked it out right there at the table. No problem. We could have moved on. But instead, I was so concerned with that everyone thought I ruined my whole night, and I'm still talking about it years later. Right? That's so sad. And I think that's one of the keys to being happy, is just like not caring what other people think about you. Who cares? They're idiots. You're awesome. Okay? Yeah, that's right. We all want to be happy. I want to be as happy as my mom when I told her about Snapchat. That's my goal. I told her about the filters, and she's like, oh, Matthew, I must have it. And then I swear, she says, take me to the app store. And I looked at her like this, and then my dad started laughing. I'm like, oh, thank goodness, at least he gets it. He's like, Irene, it's Sunday. I know that I'm more jaded than the typical person. I think stand-up comedians are generally more jaded because, like, I've experienced a lot of things in my life that I thought were going to be dreams come true, but they were just, eh? Like, I got to perform on a cruise ship, and I was always so excited about that. But it's not that good. It's like a normal comedy club, except you try not to get seasick, and there's no cell service. That's it. It's awful. And they put you through this whole safety rigmarole because you're technically part of the crew. I learned what to do in case of man overboard, and I'm going to tell you because, well, I'm up here. And if I stop talking, that would just be the end. So this is what you're supposed to do. You get to yell man overboard, and that's everybody's dream, isn't it? We've all wanted to do that. Man overboard! That's awesome. But then you got to yell what side they fell overboard, like port side or starboard. And I wasn't paying attention, so I don't know which one is port side or which one is starboard. So I'd just be up there like an 80 going, man overboard! Right here! And then you are supposed to throw the life buoy in their direction. That was the wording that the captain used, in their direction, not to them. Apparently, how close I throw it, totally up to me. If I want to chuck it 10 feet away, be like, burn 10 calories, would you, Kyle? Then that's fine. Because let's be honest, like on a cruise ship, sure, maybe man overboard's a problem on the first day, but like day 7 on a floating buffet, come on, we're all buoyant at that point, you know what I mean? So what's the problem? Just throw him a pizza, he'll be fine. And the last thing you're supposed to do is point at them. And the reason you're supposed to point at them is because they could drift off if you don't. That wasn't funny, but I'm glad there's some morbid people in the crowd. That would be hilarious. So I figure anyone can point with one hand. I got two hands. I can be doubly helpful. So sure, I'll point at you with this hand, make sure you don't float off, but I'll use my other hand to point at any dangers that might be coming your way. Yeah, like a shark or something. So I'd be up there going, I got you, Kyle. Don't worry about it. I don't need this hand anymore. And yet still, the cruise ship shows were not the strangest shows I ever did. The strangest show I ever did happened in a small town in Manitoba, Canada. And I was driving towards my gig. I had punched the coordinates into my GPS. And I always talk to my GPS. So I'm always like, hey, GPS, is this right? And you guys barely laughed. You just repeated the punchline. That was weird. You do you. So, and the reason I was concerned was because we were going down all these residential streets and it didn't seem like this was right. So my GPS says, no, this is right. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yes, when have I ever steered you wrong? I'm like, well, there was that one time in Seattle when you didn't know there was a bridge there, but there was a bridge there. And he's like, why do you always got to bring up that one time? And I'm like, I bring it up because it was a big deal. You thought we were a flying car. Like, freaking out, maybe you're done. He's like, no, this is right. So I get to the venue, and it's not a venue, it's a house. And normally I perform in like comedy clubs or theaters, maybe even hotels, places like that, but a house. How awkward would this be if I punched in the wrong address? This wasn't even right. What do you even say? How do you start that conversation? Hi, did you order a comedian? Like, what do you say? And I'm super famous in Canada, so no way for you guys to prove that. He opens the door and he's like, "You're Matt Falk." And he said it with such intensity that for a second I forgot. He's like, "You're Matt Falk." I'm like, "Yes." So I go in the house. He slams the door behind me like way too aggressively. And he's like, "All right, take off your shoes. Let's go in the basement." Listen, I would be really easy to kill. I'm a nice guy. You stab me, I turn the other cheek. That's how that works. Gets you two stabbed cheeks, but it's my motto. So I go down into his basement. It's nothing creepy. He wraps me in saran wrap, and that's how he liked his comedy. No. It was a company Christmas party. Small company. Four people. I'm not joking. Four people. You know how hard it is to get momentum with 400. Imagine four. That's just this front row without all of you guys, right? Imagine four. It was so uncomfortable. As soon as I saw them, I freaked out. I was like, I fushlooked on fear is what I did. The guy who booked me noticed that I was nervous. He's like, "Oh, don't worry. Not everyone's here yet." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I swear to you." He says, "Tina's not here." I do not know how to convey the awkwardness of the situation to you. I sat down on the couch with the audience. And we just waited for Tina. Together as a group. We're making small talk before the show. One guy's like, "So, how's the comedy career going?" I'm like, "Not well, evidently. I'm in a basement of my socks. What do you think, buddy?" 20 minutes passed, Tina hasn't showed up. Classic Tina move, am I right? And the guy who booked me, he wants to introduce me from across the room, but this is how he introduces me. He goes like this.
"Hey, what's this guy?"
"Jeff, comedy hour."
"Yeah, what's this guy?"
"Now."
"Yeah."
"No." So I just ended the conversation with this guy. I was like, "Excuse me a minute. I have to go to work now." I just stood up and I began talking louder. And it was as awkward as you think it was. When there's nothing separating you and the audience other than a bowl of chips, it's gonna be a weird show. But I was 45 minutes in, and I was almost done, and I'm like, "Oh, it's almost over, and I can just put this behind me." But then, Tina shows up. Yeah, Tina's one of these people who needs everyone to know as soon as she enters the room. Everyone's got one friend like this. She practically kicks the door down. She makes some big Broadway Liza Minnelli entrance, just, "Hi! Wow, the snow is really coming down out there. I'd much rather have snow than slush. Slush is statistically way more dangerous than the snow. 4 weeks ago, I was driving, got sucked in by the slush on the side of the road, and a tow truck had to come pull me out of the slush. But then that tow truck got sucked in by the slush, and a second tow truck had to come pull that first tow truck out of the ditch. Then because the union rules, that first one went home, and the second truck had to pull me out of the ditch, and I get to the party. Hey, Glenn, is that your new wife? You guys used to live in the city. You go full country now. You live in the country. You churn your own butter, too. Can I have a chip? 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 Can I have a chip?" Right? And... yeah. Can't do comedy with that going on. So I just stopped the show. I was like, I don't know what else to do. I was like, "Are you Tina?" She's like, "Yes." I'm like, "We were all talking before you got here. And someone said, you sound like an owl." My name is Matt Falk. I love you.
Fuck you, you're a fucking wanker. We're gonna punch you right in the balls. Fuck you with a fucking anchor. You're all cunts, so fuck you all. Fuck you, you're a fucking wanker. We're gonna punch you right in the balls. Fuck you with a fucking anchor. You're all cunts, so fuck you all. Go! For 30 odd years, I have lived with this curse. things that I say. Fuck you, you're a fucking wanker. We're gonna punch you right in the balls. Fuck you, with a fucking anchor. You're all cunts, so fuck you all. Fuck you, you're a fucking wanker. We're gonna punch you right in the balls. Fuck you, with a fucking anchor. You're all cunts, so fuck you.
What we do is we play Fox News 24/7, so everybody thinks we have a gun. I have to say something up front. There's been some concerns about my comedy, and I want to reassure the producers and everybody here that I've gotten rid of the jokes that are off color, that are offensive, and may hurt someone. So I want to thank you. You've been a fantastic crowd. Good night, everybody. God, I'm excited to be here. You know, you start out in this business, there are a lot of naysayers and dreambusters going, Bob, you'll never perform across the street from B&H Pharmacy in downtown Provo. I've arrived, baby! If everything goes the way I got planned, I got big plans. I'll be at the Red Lobster in Ogden in no time. I'll be at the Red Lobster in Ogden. They're not known for their comedy. It's really their cheesy biscuit. You know, I said that one night. This guy said, it's a Cheddar Bay biscuit. You know, as a comedian, usually you don't get heckled with facts. So that's my hook. If I misspeak, feel free to correct throughout the presentation. I'm so excited to be here. I came here in a rental car. And, well, I'm in Idaho. And, well, unlimited miles. That's where they don't charge you for all the miles. So this is weird. My wife gets a letter in the mail today from Bank of America. She called me up to the estate of me. Bank of America thinks I'm dead. So my wife calls up, and she gets that customer service agent, and, you know, they're reading from a script. She says, my husband isn't dead, and she says, I'm sorry to hear that. Of course, my wife says, you, what about me? And now they're having lunch on Tuesday. So I live in Los Angeles. Anybody from L.A.? Yeah, a lot of transplants. Interesting thing. And now, by the way, can I just say something? Nothing screams a midlife crisis like a goatee and nipple rings. I'm kidding. I don't have a goatee. Anyway. Oh, you got that one, huh? Yeah. That was a process of elimination joke. LA is changing. The demographics are changing. For 4th of July, my wife and I, we actually went to the store to get some apple pie and hot dogs, and it was in the ethnic food section. Have a lot of immigration rallies. I love it when an undocumented worker holds up a sign saying, "Not my president," because I'm thinking technically they're right. Who got hurt on that? Come on, just laugh, people. A lot of crime where I live. I live in the Valley of Los Angeles, a lot of crime. I used to be able to actually put the key to the front door under the mat on the porch. Now Matt's a homeless guy living there. But we did get a new security system. What we do is we play Fox News 24/7, so everybody thinks we have a gun. You think I'm kidding, but the neighbors watch MSNBC been robbed 4 times. It's just image. How you doing, sir? What's your name?
Scott.
Scott, and what do you do for a living, Scott?
Mortgage broker.
Mortgage broker. You look sad. The rates are going down, aren't they, Scotty? I bought my house in L.A. at the height of the market in 2005. And you know what I do for Halloween? I hand out negative equity to the kids. Here's a grand. Pay it off. Trick. It's bad. I'm hosting a show on A&E now. It's called Flip Off This House. In those two jokes, my equity is still have not come back. I'm going to be telling some jokes a little later on. What's your name? Adam, nice to meet you. You're having a, is that your lovely wife?
Yes.
Don't even have to look. She's always there, isn't she, Adam? Yeah, luckily? Why, because you screw up a lot, Adam? Is that it? You want to talk to the group? What do you do for a living?
I work for a potato processing plant.
I love it. Although you're from Idaho. Can I get a ride?
I've got room in the back seat of my rental car for you.
I bet you say that to all the guys. Been everywhere lately. I was just in Jackpot, Nevada. Who's heard of Jackpot, Nevada? Yeah. Well, let me paint a picture for the folks that may not have heard of Jackpot. It's on the edge of Idaho. It's a casino town, 3 casinos, general store, post office, trailer park. So I'm walking to the casino, and an older gentleman at the penny slot looked up and said, "Hey, Bob Zaney, what's the joke of the day?" I said, "You're a winner." Because I'm a people person. I love people. No, I truly believe without people, we wouldn't even be here. Heck, did I lose you on that one? I met the overachiever guy. He looked exhausted. I said, "Sir, you should get some sleep." He said, "I'll sleep and I die." I said, "Why don't you go to bed early?" Because then he would be dead. It's logic. I had a woman come up to me and she said, "I have 15 cats. I said, "Wow, I have one." She said, "What's it called?" I said, "Normal." I'm sorry, a lot of cat hoarders in the back area over there? I had this other lady come up to me. She said, "I thought you were very funny in the beginning, but at the end, I did not like you." I said, "Wow, that's so weird. You know, I saw you walking over, I thought you were so pretty. Now, not so much." Because opinions hurt. I was in Vegas, and I'm walking on the strip, and I saw a penny face down. I'll pick it up. To me, it's cash. Drunk homeless guy saw the whole thing. "Hey, that's bad luck." I said, "I guess you'd know." He would know about bad luck. I just said, "Reno, has anybody been to Reno lately?" I did 10 straight nights in Reno. Now I know why Johnny Cash shot a man just to watch him die. Very busy day. I went to KFC. I had 12 pieces of chicken because it's always been on my bucket list. I went to an antique store, Sears. They're starting to go away. Don't I look like an insurance salesman who hasn't sold a policy in about 5 years? And they're just keeping me around for the white guy quota? I did go shopping at Forever 51. I'm sorry, are these jokes too sophisticated? Busy, you guys. I've been everywhere lately. And by the way, you just happened to be there. What's your name, sir?
Jason.
Give Jason a big round of applause. Thank you, Jason. You're a good guy. You know why, Jason? You never gave me the look. I got a gun out in the truck. I've done those shows. Shreveport, Louisiana. A guy in the audience yelled, "Are you a Yankee?" And I never thought about it. I was born and raised in Los Angeles, so I said, "Well, no, I guess I'm a Mexican." Donato poquito español. Muchas gracias, mi amigos. Mantequilla. I just said butter. It's prettier, isn't it? I dabble in the languages. You know, arigato. Arigato in Japanese means thank you. And arigato in Espanol means my cat name is Ari. Thank you. It was the cat joke you wanted to hear again. A variation. I like asking people what their names are. Jason, that's a great name. I had this guy, and I actually had this lady. I said, "What's your name?" She said, "Chantel." I said, "No, please do." I had another guy. He said his name was Corey. I said, "Corey?" He said, "Yeah, but with a K." I said, "I'm sorry, I pronounce it with a C." They're both the K sound. And you know, a lot of people are doing now, they're naming their kids after cities they were conceived in. This is why you've met kids named like Dallas and Austin. My uncle did something similar. You should meet my cousins, Truck Stop, Ferris Wheel, and Prison. Now, Ferris Wheel suffers from vertigo. Well, this is actually a smart crowd. I'm very impressed. What do you do for a living, Jason? And how long have you been a politician? Come on, people, yeah. You know what I am doing right now that I'm very excited about? I'm going to thrift stores and I'm buying stuff, and I would love to report what I got at the thrift store. Would you like to see what I got at the Goodwill? Stuff there, man. You just got to go shopping and you can't believe. A lot of old games at the Goodwill. I got this. This is Probe. Yeah. Parker Brothers put this out in 1965. And I did my due diligence and that's all that's in there. In the game of Probe. Well, games were simpler back then. I love America. I'm a true American. In fact, I had to buy this. It's a boxing glove. Isn't that cool? And it says right there, made in Pakistan. a lot of great books. Oh, you know what they have there that I really love? A lot of arts and crafts. People make these arts and crafts. You look like an arts and crafter, are you, Jason? You have a little shop? This is really cool. Someone made this. An aunt is like a mom, but cooler. Isn't that neat? And on the back it says, an uncle is like a dad, but creepier. Look what I got for you, Jason. It's a participation trophy. Thanks for just showing up. What was that? I'm sorry? What is your name, young man?
Will.
Will, how old are you?
13.
13. Let me teach you something real quick. Life isn't fair, Will. One day you're going to have to leave Provo. I think I handled that well. This is my advice to all of you, especially you, my friend. Look at that. My God, what is your name? Blue? I don't even want to know. It's really none of my business, isn't it? Blue, you look great. You got some great tats you got there. I don't have any tats. I have some moles I should have checked. But my advice from you, Blue, don't ever buy marijuana from the Easter Bunny. Hang on, I want to keep that joke fresh. Can't get any more of this till March. A lot of great books at the Goodwill. I got this very exciting, the Hillary Clinton biography. And here's the weird part. Look, a lot of the pages are just missing. Look, they're just something. It's like they've been deleted. I'm not picking sides. In fact, I got this book from 1980, way before you were born, young Will. 1980, John Gardner put this out. Let me go ahead and read the synopsis. A chilling novel, The Ultimate Soviet Takeover, The Last Trump. There, we didn't pick sides. This is a great book. Bill Cosby, Time Flies. Hey, Bill, let's see how 3 to 10 work out. Very exciting. I got a picture of Jesus. This is his senior class photo. He was voted most likely to come back. I told that joke in Anago, Wisconsin, and this guy yelled, "You nailed it," and I went, "Whoa." I said, "That's even a line I wouldn't cross." I got this. This is scary. Look, I'm no expert, but if you're taking these many pills in a day, end it now. A lot of VHS tapes at the Goodwill. I love VHS. Some of the kids probably don't even know what it is. This one, Kids Coping with Divorce, and it makes perfect sense. Here's a great one, What Women Want. And it, you're not going to believe this, it's blank. Because, guys, we will never know. This is my favorite athlete in the whole wide world. This is Lance Armstrong. This is his performance program book. And oh. You know how hard I worked on that joke? I built a hole right there in the book. I inserted the Tic Tacs. I don't have people for that. Your baby can read. It's a DVD! I have to lose weight, I know that, and I found something that I think I can finally commit to. This is the 120-year diet. A lot of cheat days. Only 62 years ago. Look, I'm no nutritionist, but let's just say you're 119. Can't you have a cupcake and a vodka? Haven't you beaten the odds at that point? I have not read this book. I'm going to, I promise. This is The Woman Who Wouldn't Talk. So I think it's probably fiction. Look at the guy sitting there. I can't laugh at that. This book and I are inseparable. We go everywhere to go. It's Codependent No More. I just hope I'm making it happy. What's going to happen later on, you're going to Google a lot of the words and references I'm doing, and you're going to go, wow, he was good. Here's a great attention deficit disorder in adults, and squirrel. I did that one night, and a lady sitting right where you are, ma'am, she turned around to look. And then I thought there was a squirrel. Now, this is a good book for the older guys out here. This is Prostate from A to Z. Now, I've read this twice, still can't pass P. I told that joke in Sarasota, Florida, got a standing ovation. I mean the ones who could stand, but a lot of rascal scooter beeps. Anybody been to Sarasota, Florida? Average age, this is not an exaggeration, 95. And they love me there. And they come up to me after the show and say, when will you be back? And I always kind of like to say, do you think you'll be around? I'm sorry, math joke's going to be a problem? By the way, this is really cool. Jenny Craig came out with this. It's a weight that you put on your arm like this, or your wrist, and it helps you burn calories. Jenny Craig. And it works, because I weighed myself with this on. Then I weighed myself when I took it off. I lost 5 pounds like that. Here's a, Will, you're going to love this book. This is What Poo Can Do. Now, I'm not going to open it or you know what's going to hit. This is kind of cool. This is 6 Orange Mustaches. And it says right here, for ages 3 and up. Because as we know, a 2-year-old with an orange mustache is just not believable. Maybe you guys could Google the word sarcasm. But here's the whole inspiration for the Goodwill tour. It's my favorite rapper in the whole wide world. I'm going to mispronounce his name because I am white, but it's 50 Cent. Look what they did. They framed his CD. Then you can't write this. Price tag, 50 cents. Do you think they had to have a big meeting at the Goodwill? Well, if we charge a dollar, it does say 50 cents right there. And we cover that up. They're not going to know it's Curtis Jackson III. Yeah, it turns out 50 is a stage name. And he claimed bankruptcy. And part of the deal he had to make with the court, he has to change his stage name now to Nickelback. Thank you. Yeah, that's enough. We saw enough in there, right? Yeah. It's time to do a little thing I like to call the Zany Report. Anybody want to hear the Zany Report? For the folks who may not know, this is my take on the news. A lot of great things going on in the news, and I like to keep on top of that. Jason, do you stay on top of the news? Nope. Then this is really going to work well. Are you having a good time, Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you show it? Hi, Paul. Do you laugh inside? Is there any way you can move to the back? It's just been a rough 12 months. I've lost a lot of dear friends and family members. I have been in so many funerals. Always a pallbearer. Everybody mourns differently, okay? A new study has found pessimistic men are likely to die early. I just knew it. The Las Vegas City Council has outlawed urination and defecation in public. They said it's been their number one and number two priorities.
Yeah!
Hey, there's a high suicide rate among dentists. How many dentists are here? See? You seem happy. I don't believe that. Dateline Alabama, a cougar found at a local motel has been euthanized. Officials are warning women over 50 to stay away from this monster. Dateline Woodland Hills, California, six cars collide into a spilled load of avocados. Luckily, chips are on the scene in minutes. Guacamole. Honda has come out with a lawnmower that can go up to 150 miles per hour. They're very popular with gardeners who have been spotted by ICE agents. Look, if we don't laugh, we'll just cry. Boise, Idaho. The city recorded its hottest day at 106 degrees, beating out the old record of 105 degrees set in 1875. Now, officials, of course, are blaming this on global warming, and in 1875, they blamed it on summer. 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 Port Charlotte, Florida, a woman says lightning destroyed her septic tank, causing her toilet to explode. And in a sign of poetic justice, it also hit the ceiling fan. One and a half cups of spinach a day may reduce the risk of stroke. The study went on to say, ah, ga, 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 ga. See, doctor, I don't think that's true. Have you seen Popeye the Sailor? It looks like he's had a stroke. Ah, ga, 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 ga. Dateline Omaha, Nebraska. The fire department wants to charge $400 a pop for helping pick up people who have fallen. Prompting Life Alert to unveil their new slogan, I've fallen and can't afford to get up. This one's for you, Will, okay? In Florida, police arrested a man for pouring ketchup on his girlfriend while she slept. This is not the first time he's been in trouble with the law. In fact, he's an ex-condiment. It takes time for that joke to catch up. Washington, D.C., two men were arrested for shooting an ice cream truck driver. Now the driver will survive because he was only shot in the drumstick and the Nutty Buddies. Those are two ice creams available on a truck. Trust me. A Connecticut man who's on parole was arrested for hiding heroin in his Bible. Now, he's been charged with possession and leading us into temptation. A sad note. A 70-year-old Kansas City man robbed a bank because he preferred incarceration than to continue to live with his wife. The sad part, she plans to visit him in prison every day. In cat news, we got some cat people here, obviously. Hollis, New Hampshire, police are on the lookout for someone who abandoned 9 kittens on the side of the road. Woo! You may want to go now. When caught, they'll be charged with littering. Bigger laugh had you not go, woo! A new study has found 1 out of 6 smartphones are covered in fecal matter. The other 5 just get crappy reception. Dateline Hollywood, California, a driver hit a deer on the 101 freeway. Police said they knew it was a Hollywood deer because it had a fake rack. As we all know, in 2016, Mother Teresa was made a saint. You know that, right? But what you don't know, she was traded by the Lions for 2 martyrs to be named later. Wrong town for this joke. Dateline Denver, Colorado. Police have arrested 50 people and seized more than 23 pounds of black tar heroin. Now, activists say if it was white tar heroin, this would never have happened. This is scary. An adult bed bug can live 550 days without eating. Yeah, beating out the Olsen twins by 3 days. In dog news, Angie, you like doggies? You have a dog? Okay. Did you know a dog can make 100 facial expressions, beating out actor Mickey Rourke by 99?
He's had a lot of work done.
This is a fun fact. A dog can smell if you have cancer. And the really good news, if your dog tells you you only have a year to live, it's really 7. Buena Park, California. A man was arrested after he bit the eyebrow off another man during a bar fight. Yeah, they didn't release the name of the victim, but they said you'd know him if you saw him. Queensbury, New York, a woman pleaded guilty to giving, listen to this, Heather, giving her 3 children vodka and marijuana. Now, she told the judge, if I didn't do it, they'd just go out on the streets and get it from grandma. Bridgeport, Connecticut, a 5-year-old brought 50 packets of heroin to school for show and tell. Did not get into trouble because he had enough for everyone. Sharesies is alive and well. Now, do you remember that movie, 127 Hours? It actually took place in Moab, right? Remember the climber, middle of nowhere, got his arm trapped, cut off his own arm to escape. Now, they asked the real-life guy if he'd do it again. He said, yeah, but only one more time. You know, I am so proud of all of you. That was a math joke, and you did it in your head. Even the kids didn't bring out their calculator app. They're doing a biopic of the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin. It's only going to be available on Blu-ray or Stingray. Too soon? I have a theory. I think he mocked these crocodiles for so long, the Stingray was hired by the crocodiles to take this bastard out. And then probably paid it in sand dollars. Any questions so far? No, I've asked a few of you questions. You should have the same opportunity. Anything you want to ask me, go right ahead. I read a lot. I have some questions. Can an orphan eat at a family restaurant? If I marry 2 midgets, is that big of me? Wrong state to do that joke in. Do poor white trash go to the movies just for the trailers? Yeah! Come on, people. I can't keep this enthusiasm up. If someone steals my identity and I kill them, am I committing suicide? If a TV weatherman has cataracts, are all their forecasts partly cloudy? This is where you can get involved. What do you call an armadillo with leprosy? A dillo. A dillo. What would probably help out right now with that joke, if you could just Google symptoms of leprosy. If an electrician's kid gets into trouble, do they ground them? If you hit a person with an electric car, can you be charged with battery? If I poop on a picture of Satan, am I damned if I do? Should the Fiber One bar really be number two? Here's some more good news, bad news. A Nebraska woman gave birth to a baby girl at the Dixon County Fair. The bad news, she got a fourth place ribbon behind two pigs and a goat. Jefferson City, Missouri, the public defender's office is experimenting with sending text messages to defendants to remind them of their court date. That's a good idea. So far, the defendants reply with, LOL. They're probably not going to show up. Hamden, Connecticut, listen to this, Will. A 13-year-old boy woke up and found a skunk in his bed. The smell was so bad, the skunk left. McKees Rock, PA, a two-year-old girl got trapped in a toy crane vending machine at the mall. Police said it took over 50 quarters to get her out. Here's a good, this is a very interesting one right here. This is in Philly, PA, okay? Let me get to it. A man is suing Chick-fil-A for serving him a chicken sandwich with a rat baked in the bun. Yeah. Now, the 300-pound-plus man said, I was so disgusted, I almost didn't finish eating it. That was a good one to end on. You guys are a great crowd. I got to get going because I don't want to be here, but I'll tell you. You know, I always say I'm as good as my audience, and tonight I was great. I do want to end on this. I don't understand fashion. I saw this guy, he had the sweatpants on, and across his butt it said, idiot. And all I can figure out is he's not a smartass. And then I saw this lady with the sweatpants on, across her butt, it said, here comes trouble. And I believed her because she's eating a Big Bean burrito. At some point, she's going to have to put on those juicy sweatpants. Bay, thank you all very much. Good night.
Warning, the following video contains strong language which may be offensive to some viewers or inappropriate for children. The content within this video is intended for mature audiences only.